one more time. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. This is the reading of God's word. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. And cause our faith to grow as we hear your word. And with that growing faith, let us witness our Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do. And Father, through your word, let us hear the loving voice of our God, your voice, telling us how much you love us. And through your word, let us also see what has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us see our heavenly realities, so that we may rejoice and give you all the thanksgiving. We ask that you and you alone will receive all the glory, and that your people will receive your grace. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, through verse 4, we are learning about us, Christians. So far, through this verse, we have learned that we are in Christ. We are united to Christ. Like a location, Paul describes our situation as in Christ. And verse 2 also told us that we are the saints, the holy ones of God. And last week we saw that we are the faithful brethren. Now the rest of verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We are the recipients of this incredible blessings from God. The true blessings, the eternal heavenly blessings, Christian blessings, not worldly blessings, not common grace. The worldly blessings are given not only to the Christians, but also to non-Christians. And some people consider the worldly blessings as the true Christian blessings, but that happens because they do not fully understand the gospel. When it comes to worldly blessings, God only promised that we don't have to worry about what to eat and what to drink. That's it. He might make you rich or he might not. He never promised that he will make you rich or successful in this world. But what he did promise is that he will give his kingdom, heaven, and himself as your eternal inheritance. That he promised. The true Christian blessings from God. There are so many that we could talk about, but our verse tells us of two things, grace and peace. So today we will look at grace. Actually, today and next time, because this topic of grace is truly important. And following that, peace. The eternal blessings of the true Christianity. Through and by the grace of God, now we enjoy peace with God. That sums it up. And to say the conclusion first, our Lord Jesus Christ himself is grace and peace. But we'll look at it in detail, how that is so. We'll look at grace first, like I said. Today, we'll look at grace in terms of our salvation, and next time, we'll look at grace in a larger context, in the context of redemptive history of our God. Grace. Usually people say that it is an unmerited favor of God. God blesses us even though we truly do not deserve it. We didn't do anything to deserve it, and yet God still pours out His grace, His favor. That's what grace is. And that is true enough. But we want to say that grace is not just unmerited, but demerited favor of God. God blesses us even though what we truly deserve is the eternal punishment of hell. It's not that we didn't do anything to deserve it and yet God pours out His love. But we actually did something to deserve eternal hell. And yet, God pours out His favor. That's what grace is. And we are saved by grace. Because what you and I truly deserve is eternal hell. But God still loves us and saves us. That's why we say it's by grace we are saved. Well, we will begin with a question today. Our salvation and the blessings that we receive from God, are they by grace or by works? Now, you've been coming to our church for a long time. I mean, you probably could answer this question in your sleep. The Calvinism says by grace, and Arminianism says by works. And ever since Christianity began, this fight continues. Is it by grace or is it by works? And it's not that we're so proud of calling ourselves Calvinists. It's just title that we use for people like us who believe that salvation is by grace and grace alone. Calvin is not our God, and we're not following Calvin, but he's helpful. God used him in history to give us help to understand the Bible better. But we don't care what it is called. It could be called anything. I don't know, only thing I could think of right now, I don't know why, is banana. If you want to call that, then we're bananaists. Really doesn't matter. The title doesn't matter. But we are Calvinists not because we love Calvin. We are Calvinists because of what the Bible says. So, one say it's by grace, the other say it's by works. Both cannot be right. Then God is just contradicting Himself if both are right. Only one is right. And what does the Bible say? Well, we begin by reading Romans 11:6. It says, "But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If it is grace, then it's not works," Bible says. Both cannot be right. Because if it is one, then it is not the other. The Bible uses the word grace and works as antonyms. If it is grace, then it is not works. If it is works, then it is not grace. So, to say that the works are also grace is just making this issue more confusing. It doesn't help. So they say, yeah, it's by works, but even that works is grace. That's not how the Bible puts it. Bible says, if it is grace, then it's not works. You cannot say it's grace, but grace is also works. You can't do that. Bible doesn't allow that. And if it is by grace, then it's only by faith, because it's not by works. Think about it. If it is not by works, then it's only by you believing. It's by faith, because it's by grace. And even that faith, God says, it is a gift from God. You did not generate that faith. You don't have ability to do that. It's a gift of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 says, "For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace." It is by faith in order that it may be in accordance with grace. So what we're saying is that if it is by grace, then it's only by faith. And it's not by your works. When we say works, we mean the works of the law, that you obeying the law of God. That's what works is. The obedient works of the law. So we are not saved by obedient works of the law. We are saved by grace. Because if it is by works, then no one will be saved. Because you know, I know, our works do not deserve eternal salvation from God. Our works are actually sin. And sin deserves eternal hell. Because there's no way you could do any works or obey any of God's law perfectly. You and I just cannot do that. We are not saying that obeying the law of God is bad. You must. You must do your best to obey, but you will not and cannot obey perfectly. So by trying to earn salvation by your works, you will fail greatly. So we are not saying obeying the law of God is bad, but that is not how we receive our salvation and the blessings from God. Our salvation is according to grace principle, not works principle. What is works principle? Works principle says that you do this, then because of what you have done, God will bless you. That's works principle. You do and you live. You do, and God will respond to your work, good work, and He will bless. Grace principle is that everything you have done only deserves eternal hell, and yet God blesses you anyway. Not because you deserve it, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's the grace principle. And like I always tell you many, many times, all the other religions of this world, I don't care what religion you could talk about, every religion in this world except Christianity. All the other religions in this world, when they talk about their salvation, it is always by works principle. And I could guarantee you this. It's always works principle. One must do good works, and because of those good works, their God will save or bless. And because of this, this principle, this works principle, is understood by all sinners in this world. Even if they say, I have no religion, they will understand works principle. Guaranteed. You don't really need to teach them works principle. They already have it. That's the principle of this sinful world. But true Christianity, and only true Christianity says, meaning the Bible says, that God saves us by grace. God saves us even though what we truly deserve is eternal punishment of hell. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Now, how more clearly God can state this principle, that it is not by works? One more time. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's so clearly written in the Bible that it's not by your works. And we rejoice because of it. Because if it is by our works, then we know we're damned forever. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, "Who has saved us?" God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Again, 2 Timothy 1:9 clearly says that He saved us not according to our works. Again, how more clear you want God to state this? And yet, for many, many thousand years, true Church of Christ had to fight with this wrong teaching, false teaching, that somehow we have to do good works in order for us to receive blessings and salvation. The Bible cannot be more clear on this. After Adam sinned, all of humanity fell in sin with him. And in that state of sinfulness, the Bible clearly says that no one is able to do good. And in that state of sinfulness, only thing a sinner can do is sin. Now, let me read to you Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So unless God comes to you and gives you new heart, unless He recreates you into a new creation, You as a sinner who has been fallen in sin with Adam just don't have ability to do any good. Now when I say good, it's not just good according to the world, but what we're saying is that good has to be according to God's standard. Of course, in a worldly standard, sinner can do good. But that's not going to help you when it comes to salvation. You have to be good according to the standard of perfect God. And when it comes to that standard, no one is good. No one is able to do good. I don't care, you know, the very good thing that you have done, the thing that you feel, oh, that was good, you know, I did that. Whatever it might be, put it up against God's standard, it's not good. Oh yeah, your friends and people around you might treat you as someone who did good, but God doesn't. Because God says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. And yet people keep saying, I did good. God says not even one does good. But they say, no, I don't care what God says. I did good. And it's not just I could say this. A lot of people will say, I did good. But God said, no one does good. It's futile to argue with God. You will never win. So, if this is so, because everything a sinner does is sin, Romans chapter 14, 23b, whatever is not from faith is sin. So that anything they had done, non-Christian, before salvation, it cannot come from faith, so it is sin. That's how God judges it. Again, don't argue with God. This is what God does. World will never accept this. Non-Christian who goes to Africa, sacrifices his good job in the United States of America, and he goes to Africa and he feeds those hungry people in Africa. We're talking non-Christian. And we're saying that that act is sin because it did not come from faith. You know how the world will respond to that. Oh, they will be pretty angry. Because here we are, obviously looking at good works, and yet we say that's not good. But according to God's standard, that person might have done that for various reasons. A lot of people, they do it for themselves. Obviously not for God. I mean, whatever they did not do it for the glory of God. We know for that, for sure, right? You know, I get this kind of example, and you know me, I don't give out illustration during my sermon. And here is one. Let's say you have your mother, and yet you somehow completely ignores her. You reject her as your mother, even though she's the one who gave you birth, raised you up, but you say, no, you're not my mother. I reject you. I don't even care about you. And I just, he just, you completely ignore her. And yet you turn around and you are so good to elderly people. Same, you know, about same age as your mother, but you are so good to all those elderly people. And you are just, everybody knows you, how good you are to those elderly people. But as far as your mother is concerned, all your good works is meaningless. As far as God is concerned, all your goodness is meaningless. Because you reject God because you don't believe in God. You ignore Him. And here you are saying, look at how good I am. No, that's not good. That's arrogance, according to God. And if you are God, you will have the same judgment as our God. I guarantee it. So don't think that our God is unreasonable, because you will do the same if you are God. But you know, this kind of illustrations, it's just, I don't feel good. Let's move on. Now, works principle just crumbles at these two verses that we just read. No one does good. And yet they say, it's by your good works you will be saved. How can that principle stand? God says, it's not by your works. It's by grace. It's through faith. And you say, no, it's by our good works. How can you say that even? See, that principle, it just crumbles. All you need to do is look at a couple verses. Thus, by our works, we could never be justified by God. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. God tells you the purpose of the law. When you come to the law, you will, if you're given the right understanding, you will realize you are a sinner because you just broke it. You just cannot obey that law of God. So through the law, the knowledge of sin comes to you. And yet, people say it's by obeying the law, good works, we're saved. No. It says, no, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Romans chapter 3, verse 28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Again, how more clear you want it? And I'm not just reading you a couple of verses. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Again, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteousness man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On contrary, He who practices them shall live by them. We are saved by the grace of God. What is he saying then? Because if you are trying to be justified by the law, by good works, by your obedient life, then you are under curse. Because the law says that if you want to be justified by the law, you have to obey all the law perfectly. And you know you cannot do that. Then the law that you want to use to be justified, that same law will condemn you forever. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Bible goes further. If salvation is by works, then, Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, meaning comes through your obedience through the law, then Christ died needlessly. His death on the cross was waste. That's what God is saying. If salvation is by works of the law, then Jesus died for nothing. Think about it. If you are able to obey the law, and through that obedient life that you could live, that's how you save, then why do we need Christ? Then he just came for nothing, and he died for nothing. Because you could do it on your own. No. As sinner, all we could do is sin. And to say to this kind of sinner, do good and be saved, is like saying, go to hell. Because the sinner cannot do good, and the wage of sin is death, the eternal death of hell. Think about it. If you cannot obey that law, but someone says, obey this law so you could be saved, it's like same thing as saying go to hell, because that's the only thing that will result. A pastor called this kind of ministry a ministry of condemnation. Because if I teach you the works principle, if I teach you that it's by the works that you will be saved, then my ministry is ministry of condemnation, because everything that I say you to do, you cannot, so it will only result in going to hell. Why would I do that? Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. You have been severed from Christ. Now, this is serious. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. If you want to be saved through your good works, you are severed from God. You're severed from Jesus Christ. How more strong language you want God to use to tell you that there's only through Christ, only by believing in Jesus Christ. You have fallen from grace, God says. And the people who believe that they are saved by their works are truly arrogant people. And this is what is so interesting, because In the life that is apparent out here in the world, it's the people, these people who believe that it's by works that they are saved, they appear to be very humble. They are very humble among their peers. See, you and I, we look very arrogant among our peers. Oh, believe me, I look very arrogant. But see, when I stand before God, I completely acknowledge the only thing I deserve is going to hell. I didn't do anything good. I didn't do anything that would deserve His blessing. In front of God, I'm completely humble. But these people who are so humble among people, when they stand before God, they say, "Look at all these good things I have done. Bless me. You have to bless me because I did all these things, these good things." People who are so humble among their peers, they're so arrogant when it comes to God. Do you understand? Do not be fooled. Do not be deceived. Understand who is truly humble. And I don't know why I have to unnecessarily show how humble I am to you. I don't see any purpose in that. You want me to go around in front of you just showing how humble I am to you? That's not how I live my life. But when I stand before God, believe me, He makes me humble. I don't say to God, "Look at all these good things I have done for you." I know I cannot say that, because I haven't done anything that merit that saying. It's not about humbling before you. It's about humbling before God. That these people who believe they're saved by their works, they actually believe that their works are so good that their works deserve the eternal blessings of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. I'm running out of time, so let's... Romans chapter 4. I'm going to start from verse 2. Romans chapter 4, verse 2. "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to be boasted about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due." See, if you did something good, then blessing from God is something that is due to you because you deserve it. So, verse 4 says, "To the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work," just like you and I, we didn't do anything good works, "but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith," your faith and my faith, "is credited as righteousness." Do you understand? Your faith is credited as righteousness. What is righteousness? Perfect obedience to the law of God. So your faith is credited as your perfect righteousness, perfect obedience, even though you never perfectly obey. Romans chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. "And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac, for though the twins were not yet born, had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. God said, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. Jacob and Esau, twins from one father, twins from one mother. Before they were born, before they did anything good or bad, God says, I love Jacob, but I hate Esau. He did that to show you that it's not by works, but it's by God's choice. It's by God, His grace. And He pours out His grace on the people whom He chooses to pour out His grace. And you're going to say to me, wow, God is not fair. And if you say that to me, God is not fair, then I have preached correctly. Because in the world's ears, this is truly not fair. And I don't have time to show you that God is actually fair. And if you want to hear me out on that, come to my office. I'll be glad to sit down with you and talk about this. Just give me 1 hour and I will show you. If this is so, and let me end this, then there is no self-boasting in Christianity. Only boasting for us is our Lord Jesus Christ. We have not done anything to deserve salvation and eternal blessing from God. All is by grace. Those who boast still do not understand the gospel. The world is all about self-boasting. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Three things. The lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh and the boasting. This is what drives the world. They want to go to good college, they want to make more money, they want to have a bigger house. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boasting proud pride of life. These three things drives this world. They do all they do because of these three things. That's the world, Bible says. And you have been saved out of that. You don't live according to those three things. Is it wrong to be rich? No. But that is not our purpose. Now then, does this mean that we do not think good works are necessary in the lives of Christians? Definitely not. That's not what we're saying. As God's people, as the saved people of God, we must bear the good fruits that our God delights in. We must do good works, but not as the cause of our salvation, but as the result of our salvation. So when it comes to talking about good works as the prerequisite for your salvation, then that is false teaching. But not talking about good works as a result of salvation, that is also false teaching. Once you're saved by grace, then you must now live a life that pleases God. Of course. And even when we do a poor job producing those good fruits in our lives, that does not mean that we will lose our salvation. But we must pay a careful attention to God, who said, faith without good works is dead. And that dead faith cannot save you. And the faith that saves you will produce good works. Oh, it might take long time. Oh, believe me, long time. But that faith, true faith, will produce the fruits that God delights in, because you will do things by faith, and He delights in that. True faith is an effective faith. It will produce the works that will bring glory and honor to God. But we are saved by grace. And this is why we're so happy. Can you just imagine that Bible, and here I am, let's say I'm teaching the Bible, and Bible says that you need to do good works in order for you to save. If that's what Bible says, then I'll be the first one to say, forget this, go home and do just whatever you want, because we're going to hell anyway. What's the point? Because we're going to hell anyway if it is by works. But I'm bringing the gospel, the good news. It's by grace. And that is why, without being arrogant, we are able to have confidence in our salvation. Because salvation is by grace. Only way you could have confidence if you believe salvation is by works is that you be arrogant, thinking that your whatever you did is actually good works to God. That God is pleased with your life without faith. No. You and I, we have confidence without being arrogant. Because all the good works Jesus Christ has done for us. Oh, and believe me, His works are truly good, perfect. And He did all that for me and for you, in your place. So God saves us in terms of what Jesus has done, not what we do or what we have done. That is why it's grace. Oh yes, good works have been already performed on our behalf. Jesus Christ did them for us. And God accepts His good works as your good works. When you have faith in Him, when you trust Him, when you believe in Him. This is truly good news. Believe, brothers and sisters. Believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Bible. It tells us the grace of our God, of You. That we are saved by grace. Everything that has been happening in our lives, all those things You have said that it worked for the good of all of us who are in Christ, everything is by grace. Who we are is by Your grace. Who we will be forever in heaven is by grace. What have happened in our lives is by grace. We truly acknowledge Your grace. Let us rejoice in Your grace and truly understand what you have done, what you have accomplished, so that we may give all the glory to you, because you are the only one who truly deserves all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and sing hymn number 461. 461. Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toil